Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk this morning. It is time for Worldview Watch with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners. Here we are again.
A blessed Monday morning. The old crew back together again.
Well, I'm up here in Lombard, Illinois with my daughter. I came up, my brother's wife's mother entered her Sabbath rest, and so we're going over to the church this morning at 11 for a worship there in Crystal Lake. So I'm all set here to bring up a whole bunch of topics. And I have to tell you, I was preaching yesterday at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Prairie Town, Illinois, and a couple of people came up and they said, you know, we listen to His Time, and we hear you every Monday morning, and we appreciate all they do for His Time. I said, well, thank you. I'll share that with well, at that time, I said, Jonathan, Pastor Fisk, you know, so I thought I'd share that with you.
Well, thanks.
So at least that's a couple people anyway.
That was St. Peter in Prairie Town?
St. Peter Lutheran, Prairie Town, Illinois, yeah.
Very good. Well, greetings and salutations to the saints at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Prairie Town, Illinois.
Yeah, so what I have here, just quickly, is medical students' view. It came out, there's an interesting journal called Chest, and it discusses different things about current medical professions. And this one, they interviewed up-and-coming medical students on this whole issue of physician-assisted suicide here in the United States. And here's their basic conclusion. They say that it interferes with committing to doctors who want to heal and care for patients, and the intentionally to kill people is not the way medicine should be dealing with people. So I thought that was very interesting, considering we have 5 states in Washington, D.C., and other states now that want to get into physician-assisted suicide here in the United States. And so it's interesting that the American Medical Student Association has a position of conditional support for physician aid in dying, but the medical students don't seem to be agreeing with that, which I find very helpful, that this is not the way to care for people. And so they reject this pressure to legitimize physician-assisted suicide. So I just thought I'd share that with the listeners who were worrying about up-and-coming physicians. It looks like perhaps there are going to be some physicians that are going to say, no, we shouldn't be doing this.
Did you say that was from the magazine or the periodical Chest from the American College of Chest Physicians?
It's called Chest. And I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am.
But it discusses, you know, some concerns held by a new generation of U.S. medical professions and students. So,
You know the game, this was back in the 90s, the Kevin Bacon game where you can identify an actor by them being connected within 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Do you remember that back in the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I actually do have a link to the American College of Chest Physicians. This is really funny. It's really almost entertaining. So at a time in my life when I was working a variety of jobs, one of my jobs was working serving as a kind of a test patient or a medical model. They practiced ultrasound. They taught physicians, particularly ER physicians and chest physicians, how to use ultrasound, particularly for, you know, cardiac and things like that. So I was one of those test patients that they got to practice on for the American College of Chest Physicians. So I'm actually familiar with chest.
Hey, well, there you go. Yeah, well, that's interesting, because I didn't know that, because some of these journals that I read look into, you know, I get an occasional email. What's that journal's name? And, you know, because there are tons of, and I go to the medical library at St. Louis University periodically just kind of read up on some of the stuff. And there's all kinds of journals out there on all this stuff. So it is hard to keep up with this. But this is an issue I thought coming out of the journal Chest that was kind of important. And I thought very helpful to hear that the students fear that physician-assisted suicide violates their fundamental bond of trust. Mm-hmm. So I'm always thinking, like, as a pastor, a DCE, a church professional, what about those things as we take care of people? What is it that people perceive us violating the trust that we have with them and vice versa? And usually it's breaking confidence, not, you know, gossiping the wrong thing, trying to build yourself up and not worrying about the other person. So I'm always trying to, you know, extrapolate into our vocation, Andy, as you well know.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that. And those are
the other thing is the other two that I have is just briefly Texas. Now, this is interesting. The government of Texas now is going to allow clinics across the state to market an unapproved stem cell therapies there on patients who have chronic and terminal illnesses. And what they're going to do is to use their own adipose or fat stem cells to try and treat them, at not necessarily cure, but to treat them of these diseases. And I find this interesting because the governor, Greg Abbott, of course, is a paraplegic. And I don't know if this is the underlying reason, but he signed this legislation, which really surprises me because it has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. And so he's bypassing this. And so other doctors, I get the journal Science, they're saying that this stem cell area makes things really very scary because it's untested therapy. And they're going to use this on people. And I bring this up to your listeners only because this embryonic stem cell business is still alive and well. Although these are, they're using adult stem cells, but still it's untested. And I know some people, they have people moving into the state of Texas now to undergo this untested therapy, which who knows what side effects they could have. So it's an issue of caution to those people. And, just a piece of information and area of, you know, to share with your listeners. The last one I want to get into, however, is this whole issue of transgenderism. I know we've chatted about this before, but now the magazine, The New Atlantist, has come out and they questioned this whole issue of using puberty blockers, what they're doing up in Chicago on 214 young people, to say, you know, I'm born in the wrong body. Get me out of this. And so the doctors who published this article are questioning. They say, you know, there is no scientific understanding, very little evidence explaining why some people identify as opposite sex or why childhood expression. In fact, I looked at this up in the DSM-5 magazine that is the thing that is responsible, called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. This is interesting. 70 to 98% of boys do not persist in this transgender business. They change back. And 50 to 88% of girls change back. So they said, you know, and this article basically said, why get so upset? You know, these kids don't even know what they're going to do from day to day. And parents are trying to change them into an opposite sex that, how can they make these decisions? You know, so there doesn't seem to be any evidence that this using puberty blockers to get a child from male to female or vice versa really works. Because as they get older, they say, wait a minute, I think I like what I was. So I'm bringing this up because this is now a huge issue in terms of it has jumped up. The interest in this has jumped up 2,000%, by the way, in terms of children who are struggling with their gender identity. So this goes back to our theology of the cross regarding creation. And I just wanted to share that again, that these things, these puberty blockers, it just doesn't seem to be working out. And you remember Cruella?
Cruella? Dr. Cruella, yeah. From the American College of Pediatricians,
and
has spoken about
the
that.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That there are dangers associated with puberty blockers that perhaps have been overlooked in this process.
Oh yeah, the dangers. What they're talking about is they're saying, oh well, they're reversible, and these doctors are saying they're not reversible, because what happens is that they already have moved them out of their current development in terms of whatever sex they were created in. And the sequence of development has already been disrupted. And so to say, well, they're reversed, he said they're not the reverse, because it's especially important that there's a complex relationship between the physiological and the psychosocial development during adolescence. And gender identity is shaped during puberty and adolescence. So given how little we understand about this gender identity and how it's formed and consolidated, these authors are saying we should be very cautious about interfering with this normal process, because the big concern is that it probably will interfere with their ability to have children, because they think that this will impact their reproductive organs in the long run. And that's one of the biggest problems that that they're not sure about, but they think that's what's going to happen, because reversal makes them appear, you know, less drastic, but there's no scientific evidence that this reversal really works. That is to stop these puberty blockers.
Hmm.
So I know this is all kind of a medical sort of a thing, and I'm not a medical doctor. Sometimes I know how to get into trouble, but not out of trouble with this stuff. But the point from our viewpoint as Christians and talking about parenting, to me, this gets into the whole issue of parenting, because the parents want their children to be happy. And so often the solution proposed by doctors and counselors is transitioning. And so you affirm the new gender, and then they get caught up in that, and then they get into gender affirmation surgery when they reach 17 or 18. And so how are they going to make this decision? I think this, to me, speaks about what parenting is all about from the standpoint of the scriptures.
God grant them grace when they face such a struggle. I can't imagine what pain one might feel when facing such a struggle as a parent or as a child. God grant them grace to face that and to do so with His Word.
Yeah, I mean, the parents are torn over these issues, and once again, I would suggest in these sorts of circumstances, like Paul did on Mars Hill, stick to your vocation as a church professional, but also get into their narrative and be a good listener and find out what's going on with these parents. And all we can speak is the Word of God. And don't try and be a doctor or psychologist unless you're trained in that area, but also be a good listener, because many of them are saying, I don't know what to do when my child tells me I'm born in the wrong body. What do I say? You know, and frequently I think we church professionals, we can certainly talk about how they feel about creation, but it may also need some referral issues to somebody who is very understanding and has knowledge about all these gender identity issues. And so I always tell the guys at the seminary, make sure you know when you get out to be a pastor, DCE, or other church professional, make sure you know, perhaps through Youth and Child Family Services, who are the people in that town or in the area that can help you with some of these issues of referral, because we have to cover our bases for the sake of the gospel.
Certainly, as educators, as church professionals, as parents, make sure that you stay aware of the resources available to you to help you through those difficulties and challenges that we all face as families, as parents. Yeah.
Well, this is the good thing about His Time. I mean, you give a lot of resources, and I think this is the most helpful thing of all, is to get people back into the scriptures, and then, of course, the other resources that are available.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and fun to be back in the seat this morning and talking with you here on His Time.
Take care of yourself, and God's peace to you and your listeners, Andy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer right here on His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Fisk. I'll be back with you during Faith and Family at 10 o'clock today. Back at His Time tomorrow morning as well. You're listening to The Messenger of Good News.